Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today is the feast of Saint Jane Frances de Chantal. Jane Frances was a married woman, a mother of seven children from Dijon, France. Her husband was killed in a hunting accident, and in 1604, upon being deeply moved by the preaching of Francis de Sales, Jane asked him to become her spiritual director. She founded the Visitation Nuns in 1610, and she worked tirelessly helping the sick, and she convinced local political rulers to make special provisions for the sick and for the bereaved. She established 85 monasteries before her death in 1641. It's quite the woman, wife, mother, and religious. There's a great deal to be learned from her life, but I also want to mention to you here her spiritual director and very good friend, Saint Francis de Sales, is one of the best spiritual guides I know, brothers and sisters. He seemed to be able to take our common, ordinary life and show us how to grow spiritually through it. And I highly want to recommend his book, Introduction to the Devout Life. Introduction to the Devout Life. I think you would find it a real treasure, and it should be available in any Catholic bookstore, and any good library should also have a copy of it. It's by Saint Francis de Sales, Introduction to the Devout Life. The first reading for today is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 to 22. Moses said to the people, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God?" That means to reverence him, to obey him. Doesn't mean fear in the sense of trembling. It means a deep reverence that what he says, you listen to; what he says, you obey. "What does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, follow his ways exactly in love, to love and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I enjoin on you today for your own good." Remember that, brothers and sisters. The Ten Commandments are there for your good. They're not there to inhibit. They're not there to make you feel condemned. They're there to give you life. If you follow them, it will lead you into union with God, really. So he says, "I want you with all your heart and all your soul to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I enjoin on you today for your own good. Think, the heavens, even the highest heavens, belong to the Lord your God, as well as the earth and everything on it. Yet in his love for your fathers, the Lord was so attached to them as to choose you, their descendants, in preference to all other peoples, as indeed he has now done. Circumcise your hearts, therefore. Be no longer stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who has no favorites, accepts no bribes, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow and befriends the alien, feeding and clothing him. So you too must befriend the alien. You too must follow in his footsteps. For you were once aliens yourselves in the land of Egypt." We go back to our ancestors way back. They were aliens in the land of Egypt and suffered greatly. And a great part of the reason, brothers and sisters, we suffer in this world, not all of it, but a great part of it, is because we choose not to follow what God has given us as a way home to him. The Ten Commandments. Oh, we're beyond that. Oh, that was for a uneducated people. We're way beyond that. We know science has taught us this and that and the other thing. We don't need piddly Ten Commandments. Why obey them? We disparage, we disdain, we look down on the very means that God has given us to find life in Him. Get your catechism out, reread the Ten Commandments, reread the explanation of the Ten Commandments. If you don't have a Catholic catechism, get one. Get one. They're available in any good bookstore. Catholic catechism, promulgated in the late 1980s. Outstanding. Outstanding tool, both for inspiration and devotion and understanding and wisdom. The Lord your God shall you fear, and Him shall you serve. Hold fast to Him, swear by His name. He is your glory, He your God, who has done for you those great and terrible things which your own eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt 70 strong, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of the sky. Who are the descendants who will follow you? Will they know what to follow? Will they be led safely home to the Lord if they pay attention to your life? You are the model. And the greatest treasure you can give them or make way for them is eternal life. Don't get sucked up into the world's values and spend all your time and energy on supplying people with material things. Give gifts, of course give gifts. But I'm saying we go so far overboard to the total neglect of the only treasure that will last forever, relationship with God. Glorify the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for you have strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. Psalm 147. Look at what God has done. I really urge you. I talked the other day in the Sunday readings. I talked about establishing a practice of remembering the presence of God. Just stop for a moment. Think of one short little prayer you could just repeat to acknowledge the presence of God. But also right here in this Psalm 147, do you thank the Lord? Do you praise the Lord daily that He is, that He created you, that you can be secure in your Father's hands, in your Savior's heart? You can be secure. That's a security that will never fail you. Do you give Him praise and thanksgiving daily for His goodness to you? In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 22 to 27, as Jesus and His disciples were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill Him, and He will be raised on the third day." And they were overwhelmed with grief. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax approached Peter and said, "Does not your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes," he said. When he came into the house, before he had time to speak, Jesus asked him, "What is your opinion, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners?" And when he said, "From foreigners," that's who gets taxed. And Jesus said to him, "Then the subjects are exempt." In other words, we're exempt. "But that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. Open its mouth, and you will find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them for me and for you." Jesus is saying here, fulfill your civic obligations. Do what you are required to do. But remember, your chief obligation is to God. There is in the Magnificat magazine a wonderful little excerpt by Mother Mary Frances. And an excerpt from one of her books, she says this, "We pray, Passion of Christ, comfort me. Comfort me, yes, but in the very literal etymological sense of that word, make me strong." That's what we mean when we say, "Passion of Christ, comfort me." It means make me strong. Passion of Christ, make me strong. In other words, brothers and sisters, in this life, we're going to have many crosses and we're going to have many difficulties. And when we have them, we want to say, doesn't help to follow God. This is awful. Life's awful. I'm not going to follow God anymore. I'm just going to go do my own thing. And what we do in the end is make it worse for ourselves. Jesus suffered on our behalf so that our suffering could have eternal value. There are sufferings in our lives that we cannot make better. They're just there. We give them to Christ. We unite them to the passion of Christ. Because God can take all suffering and make it eternally fruitful. It's not useless. It's not wasted if you give it to him. And so Mother Mary Frances says, Passion of Christ, make me strong. Surely that is a prayer we should like to make our own, for we would rejoice to be strong in our sufferings from the strength of the Passion of Christ. But this does not always seem to happen. In fact, we see all too manifestly that it is often enough it does not occur. We seem instead very weak, don't we? When we're going through hard times, we seem very weak. We seem to make all kinds of mistakes. Where is that strength from the Passion of Christ? I don't get it. Doesn't happen to me. Perhaps we need to recall that it is not effected ex opere operato. Our Lord suffered, endured, willingly accepted his passion and death. Therefore, we are strong. Strength flows out of him to us indeed, but not without our effort to receive it. Lord, I cannot, this is ridiculous. This pain is too great. Nothing good can come out of it. I ask you to get rid of it. You don't get rid of it. Nobody cares. That's how we go and we spiral down, rather to say, Passion of Christ, comfort me. In other words, Passion of Christ, make me strong. Take my suffering, my weak, seemingly senseless, useless suffering, take it and unite it with yours, that out of my suffering may come your love and your presence in whatever situation it is. Passion of Christ, comfort me. Strength flows out of him to us, indeed, but not without our effort to receive it. The Passion of Christ will give you strength. The Passion of Christ will enable you to endure, but not without our effort to receive it. What is lacking in Christ's passion in me? It is my own bruises of body, of heart, of spirit, bruises of disappointment, bruises of frustration, bruises of misunderstanding, bruises of ingratitude, bruises perhaps of rejection. Aware of this, remembering, focused, identified, we can truly pray, Passion of Christ, make me strong in the midst of this so I don't succumb to these hurts. We dare not pray it unless we are prepared to accept the responsibility of having the strength of the Passion of Christ given to us. When we experience, we need to yield to it, not hold on in jealousy and envy and animosity and hatred. May Christ make me strong, that I may be a sign of his love to all people. May God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.